Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. And each week, we feature a guest from the world of music, food, the arts, entertainment, or pop culture from the Jersey Shore and far beyond. And today, one of my favorite categories, not even going to say my very favorite category of guests that I have on the show, we're talking about music. And I feel very fortunate to have with me today Gene Potts, who is the lead vocalist of the Colossal Street Jam. And they recently played to a sold-out performance at the Light of Day at the Langusta Lounge in Asbury Park. They feature original music in the blues rock style. They've been around the Asbury Park area in the New Jersey scene for many, many years. And, of course, they've also shared the stage with many great rock legends like Deep Purple, Robbie Krieger of the Doors, Johnny Winter, and the very legendary Clarence Clemons, just to name a few. So, Gene, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Really my pleasure. And like I said, musicians are always my favorite people to talk to. So the first thing I'm going to actually ask you, something that I'm always curious, your musical journey, how you got to where you are now. And I'm curious about your background. As a kid, what was your musical experience growing up?
Well, my father was always singing around the house, and he loved to play drums when he was younger, and he always had different stuff going on in the house. Whether it was Frank Zappa or Grand Funk or listening to soul music, so he always had something really good on. And I think that's the first real experiences I had with music, was sitting down with him and listening and him singing. My father's actually sings a lot of gospel. He still does to this day, and he's got a fantastic voice. So he was my musical guide when I was younger. And, just through friends and what everybody else listened to and just trying to see what fit for me. And it was always that R&B, soul, classic rock was always, the things that I was into. I had my, I do like metal. I like hard rock music and metal. I picked up on that really when I went into high school. But I have to say that the Grand Funk and Free and Bad Company and Paul Rodgers, Allman Brothers, those were really my first real loves when it came to music.
So you had your dad listening to classic rock in the house, so you had a great foundation for all this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's pretty great. That really is.
And my father comes out to almost all the shows, when we play. He's like my biggest fan, and he'll critique, I don't like that, or I really like what you're doing there. So, he's still putting me through the test when it comes to music. But I turned him on to some things.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised. Did you get a lot of encouragement from your family as you were growing up, to continue along the path of music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my family, my sisters, I have four sisters. They'll show up at shows, they're always asking what I'm doing, where we're playing. They've always been my biggest supporters, I would have to say.
So when you started really getting into music yourself, what were you listening to?
Let me see. When I really got into it and I started taking vocal lessons, I was definitely into more of the harder stuff. I would say I was a big fan of Ronnie James Dio when I was younger, Joey Belladonna from Anthrax, but there was also a side of me that loved Sly and the Family Stone, James Brown. As I got through high school, I became a really big fan of Terrence Trent D'Arby. So I'm all over the musical map when it comes to influences.
You really are. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I like a little bit of everything.
I can see that. No, but I think an eclectic blend is what makes people especially interesting. Yep, I can see that. So what's the first time you ever really got involved in a band? Or just, as a singer out there?
It's really funny. I was in ninth grade and was sitting at a lunch table with a bunch of friends, And I had been more into sports at the time, playing baseball, football, basketball. But I did like to sing, and I sang at home, and I always, you know, whatever new records came out, I could, if I could go get them at the record store, and I wasn't practicing, you know, some sort of sports, I was home listening to those records and trying to sing like that. And we just happened to be sitting at a lunch table, and I was with some friends that had a band, and they played nothing but Kiss. And I loved Kiss back then, you know, so I learned the lyrics to a couple songs, and we were singing at the lunch table. They said, hey, you want to come down and play with us? And I went to the house, and they had a rehearsal, and I sang, and all of a sudden, I'm in the band, and we're playing at a teen arts festival at the high school, and that was my first gig, and I was in ninth grade. And we played two Kiss songs, and that ended up being what we did for about 2 years. Just playing Kiss songs, and then I ventured out and started doing some different things. And, you know, I started playing in nightclubs when I was like 14, 15 years old.
Really? So you go from playing Kiss in ninth grade, and how did you get into nightclubs? 14.
I was playing with guys that were older than me.
Yeah, you know, obviously.
Back in that time, and not, you know, not that it was so long ago, but, you know, the nightclubs that were around, you know, it was 16 and up to get in, and, you know, if you were in the band, they didn't really check your age.
Yeah.
You know, so I was able to get into those clubs and play, and, you know, and there was at one point I was playing with guys that were in their, you know, mid-20s, and here I am 16, 17 years old.
And what were you playing then? What was the music at the time?
It was just a mix of everything, but it was more rock based. You know, it was it could be playing Zeppelin and you know, Whitesnake. It was just a mix. You know, and that's what people were back. You know, the kids that I hung out with, that's what they were into back then. You know, I was actually kicked out of a band because of my love of soul music. You can imagine that. The guys, you know, they played hard rock, and they didn't like the fact that I was listening to Terrence Trent D'Arby and Prince.
Yeah, you know. Bad. That's funny. That's a little crazy when I hear to think that somebody would throw you out for that. Doesn't seem like transgression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, it's not that I didn't look the part because I had the long hair and everything, but they thought I wasn't staying on the track of what they wanted to play.
Gotcha.
That's okay.
On the track.
Yeah.
So now
I don't like staying on the track.
Neither do I. So I can relate. That's a good. I consider that a bonus. So your first paying gigs really when you were 14 years old.
Yeah, I always say that I had my first real experience being a singer when I was 13, and then I loved it so much that I decided to go out and start playing when I was 14, 15, and I left. I kept the sports. I did both. And by my senior year of high school, I kind of made the decision that I wasn't going to play sports anymore, which my mother to this day reminds me about. But, you know, I was big into baseball, and that was my thing. And she was hoping that I was going to go to college playing baseball. But I just found the love of music and being a lead vocalist more important to me.
Gene, sort of your epiphany that made you realize, hey, I'm good at this. I'm really good at this.
You know, I still struggle with that to this day. You know, there's things that I like and there's things that I hate. You know, did I ever think I was really good at it? I don't know if I really did. It was just that I knew that I loved it. And I knew that I loved to get out there in front of people. And I think that was it. I think it was the love of being in front of people and pouring my heart out. And, you know, through the years, you'll get 50 people that like you and then 50 people that hate you, you know, and it's just par for the course when you're a musician. Yeah. But I don't know about an epiphany, but I just knew that I loved it, and that's why I continued to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did you start to actually write songs?
Well, we started, I think, the first version of Colossal that got together, I believe that I was still underage. I think that was between 19 and 20 at the time. And that was the first version of Colossal that got together. And we started writing. Our guitar player, Sal, who's still a guitar player to this day, he wrote a majority of the stuff when we were younger, with you know, with us adding some stuff in, and you know, that's changed, you know, now where we're all writers. But we all had our hand in it, but he would come to us and say, hey, I wrote this song, and he would hand me the lyrics, or he would have half lyrics and you know, the melody written, and we would work together, and that's how that started. And then we all became songwriters just by working together.
So back in the day, when you first started out together, was there anything in particular that inspired everyone? Did you all come from this with different inspirations?
All different inspirations, and that's why you have the name of the band as Colossal Street Jam. It's just, you know, I had my metal, but my soul background, you know, stuff that I liked. And then Sal is definitely a Hendrix, you know, classic rock sounding guitar player. Where Tony, our bass player, was more into the straight ahead rock stuff. And the drummer we had at the time, our original drummer was a metal drummer, but when we replaced him, the guy we replaced him with was into, like, Latin music and, like, Afro-Cuban rhythms.
Yeah.
So it was – and we had a keyboard player, organ player at the time who was into, like, the progressive music, you know, like the Yes and stuff like that. So it was – we actually – our name comes from a famous person – named us. His name's John DiMaggio. He's the voice of Bender on Futurama. And he's like a big voiceover actor. And he's the one, he saw us the first time and said, you guys are like one big Colossal Street Jam. And that's how we named the band.
Seriously cool. I like it.
Yeah. And I
like that.
Not the name drop, but I just like that story.
No, name drop. Do it.
Here's this guy that, you know, he's a big voice over actor now, and we haven't seen him in quite a while, but he, you know, he named our band.
And I was actually, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, how did you come up with the name? So there you go. That is very cool. Well, you know what? Now would be a good time to give a nice little shout out to all your other bandmates.
All right. Well, we have Sal Mara on the guitar and vocals. Sal and I actually do another act together called Guns for Hire that is a cover act that we have really honed our skills of singing harmonies together, which has been a big plus with the new music that we've been writing for Colossal. And then Tony Flora on the bass, and Tony is an awesome bass player, solid, just a lot of fun to be around. I would say he's the jokester in the band, but he is a great musician and you know, he's been with us since the beginning. And then we have a new addition to our band. His name is Dave Halpern. And Dave can still be seen playing drums for John Eddy. He's played on Bee Gees records. He's played with just about everybody. But Dave came to us in early October. So he's been with us ever since. And we've been writing some new material with him. And that's our band right now.
Very good. Well, I want to read you something, an email that I got today in reply to the promo that I sent out about our show today. And it says, hi, Andrea. Awesome. You know, the first band I ever sang backup for was Backwoods, and we opened up for Colossal many times. They were always a great, fun band, and Gene was a great front man then and still is. Any thoughts? Who that might have been from? Do you have any thoughts who that might have been from?
Leon.
Yes. Oh, good for you. Leon.
Yeah, I love Leon.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
So I thought that was great, and I wanted to share that with you. I told her I was going to share it with you on the air.
That's very nice. Thank you. And I love Leon. Leon has been a good friend for a long time, and she deserves all the accolades that she gets. You know, she's been involved in so many different acts, and she's been with Matt O'Ree now, and she did. When we did our reunion show, she sang backup for the last two songs on our reunion show, which was in 2013. And I love her. I loved her mother very much. They're just, she's a doll. Her mother was a sweetheart, and that was very nice of her. I'm going to have to reach out to her and thank her.
Yes, It was very nice of her. I think it's always to get a little wonderful recognition from your peers. Yes, I wanted to share that with you. Now,
well, thank you.
My pleasure. Now, you've been on stage with many great acts, and I thought you might share an anecdote or two that stands out for you.
You know, we've shared the stage we're always an opener. We're always an opener, you know. So you get lucky if you get to meet the headliner. You know, maybe you get to sit in on sound checks. And I can't even remember all the acts that we've been with. But, you know, a couple things that stand out in my mind. We got to play with Steve Morse of the Dixie Dregs and so many other different bands, and he's even in a version of Thin Lizzy right now, and he was tuning up downstairs at the Fast Lane, which we played all the time, and he was just jamming, and we went back there and I just started singing along. He was doing an old blues tune and I started singing along, and we had a harmonica player sit in, and that, you know, that was a thrill for me. You know, I've been on stage with, you know, I've very rarely do you get asked up, but there's been a couple through the years, and you know, I remember one of the greatest times when we used to play with Tony all the time is we got asked to open up for Bruce Dickinson. And Bruce Dickinson is a singer for Iron Maiden, so we really don't fit with him. But he had released a solo record, and he loved our band. He watched our sound check, and he just loved our band, and he hung out with us. And same thing, you know, we got to meet Johnny Winter. Johnny Winter watched us at Club Binet. You know, and we got to hang out with him after the show. And, you know, there's no real big story except for the fact that we were just young guys that got to hang out with the people that we admired. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a big story as far as I'm concerned, because not everyone can say they got to do that. So, very cool. Now, you told me earlier you had the band broke up and reunited. And there was about 20 years in between. So I'm curious, how did your musical style change over that 20 years? How had you evolved into what you are today? That's a long time to be apart.
Are you talking about Colossal Street Jam itself, or are you talking about me personally?
No, Colossal Street Jam. Sorry. Right. We were talking
the music,
earlier that... Yes.
The music is still the same vein. It's still the 70s-influenced classic rock sound. Even when we just recorded the new EP, we recorded with Joey DeMeo of Surefire at Surefire Studios, and we told him, you know, we have this vision of those old 70s records, like Free, you know, like when you hear All Right Now, you know, it's that classic, almost live sounding record, and that's what we were really going for. The band itself, I think, stayed on course as far as music, you know, just that the influences are still the same. I think the musicians inside the band have grown, where I think Sal's guitar playing is, you know, was amazing back then and is light years ahead now. And just the way he plays, the way he phrases things, the way he, you know, sings with me. And in the old days, I think I just sang whatever came out. And these days I really think through, and I try to throw some different influences in there, you know, and I think that's the change in the band, is just that we're throwing some more influences in there and some things that we've learned over the 20 years, but the music genre and the sound, I think, is the same.
So you kept yourselves faithful to your original mission.
Colossal Street Jam is a 70s rock band. That's
okay.
We've always been.
Now, you're doing original music. You're playing your original music. And I just wonder, I have heard other musicians say that they feel it's very difficult to find venues that want to bring in musicians playing original music. And I just wonder what your thought is on that.
I mean, our home base, which is Asbury Park. I mean, we're Red Bank guys. You know, we've always said that we were a band out of Red Bank. We all still live in the area, but as far as that, you know, being a band that plays Asbury, there's more than enough rooms to play in Asbury. I think it's when you start to venture out. We are playing in the city in March. It's hard to venture out to these different areas that do have original music because you know, it's almost like you got to sell this many tickets and this and that. It's always been that way, but now even more than ever, I think if you're going to go up and play a Roxy and Dukes, or if you're going to go up and play a Crossroads in Garwood, you have to bring that crew with you. And sometimes you can't, and sometimes you don't get the shot. And I think that's where bands say it's hard to find the venues, because, you know, we may pack or sell out a place around here, but bring 25 people with us to North Jersey or to New York or Philadelphia. So we're about to cross that, you know, being back together and really dominantly playing in Asbury Park and Long Branch and, you know, Red Bank. We haven't hit the road yet and haven't gone out and said, all right, let's go do a Friday in New York and let's go do a Saturday in Philly. And those things are actually in the works. So we're going to see what we bring with us, and we're going to see who follows us and who's been listening. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of radio. There's some stations that are starting to play our tunes, some of the local stations. And, you know, we're curious to see if the music's gotten out enough that we can get some more people to come out and see it. So back to your question, I think if you're from this area and you play in Asbury Park, you have more than enough venues that you can get into. I think if you want to venture out and start to play different places, unless you're well known, it's a little more difficult. That's what the bands are probably, you know, when they're saying it's hard to find places, I think it's hard to find places to give you a shot.
To give you a shot. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's places out there.
But, yeah, willing to give you a shot. Yeah, of course. So Mario Casella of Slim Chance and the Gamblers, he recently told me that he thought the biggest challenge for musicians today was just getting people to actually purchase their music. What do you think about that? Because you've just released a new EP. Do you feel that is a challenge as well?
I
do
think
we all want
so
something for free?
Yeah, you know what? We've put them out there for sale. We've sold singles through Reverb Nation. We've sold CDs at our shows. And, you know, he's right. I think a lot of people want to buy offline and they buy, you know, their favorite bands and stuff like that. But I think it's still hard for the local guys that are putting their own stuff out to sell it. I mean, you have many avenues to do it, you know, through social media and your live shows. I'd have to agree with them a little bit. It's hard to get rid of them. It's hard to sell them. And we've done pretty good with our EP, but I still have, you know, quite a few left. And they don't sell, like in the old days. I'll just go back on my experiences. When Colossal released our CD in 93, and I will date myself, we did release a CD in 93. We sold 5,000 in a matter of a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's hard to get rid of 500 in a couple weeks. And it's just that people aren't, you know, they have to pay that big admission price to get in. You know, the alcohol is more expensive than it's ever been, and people just don't, you know, they get to the club and, you know, they don't have that extra $5 or $10 to buy your music. If they love you, they will, which we've seen. And like I said, the Reverb Nation sales have been pretty good. But, you know, it's not as easy as it used to be, that's for sure.
No, there is the challenge out there. I can only imagine. Well, thanks for sharing that, actually. Now, on a high note, you recently played The Light of Day, and you were at Langosta Lounge. Tell me about that experience. Playing The Light of Day.
Well, we did two nights for Light of Day. Langosta we did an acoustic show, which was the Acoustic Carousel, hosted by Peter Scherer, who's a very good friend of ours. He used to be the singer for Mr. Reality, who was a very big band that came out of Asbury back in the 90s. Peter put on a great show, a lot of great acts. Everybody got up, did 10, 15 minutes. Sal and I went and did one song off the EP, one song that we had written previously. And it was fun. It was a good time. I mean, it was a good crowd. Mm-hmm. The sold-out night was the next night, which was insanity. That was The Saint. And
oh,
we played with
okay.
We played with Stolen Roads, great band out of Philly. They're phenomenal. And then Billy Hector was on the show. Billy was great. And then Bob Holding Band and Hank and Bezzy. And I have to tell you, I got there at 8 o'clock. We weren't scheduled to go on until 9:30. I got there at 8 o'clock. I couldn't even get in the front door. It was insane.
That's a good sign, right? That's a great sign.
Yeah, it was really good. And, you know, you get some turnover. People come in to see a certain band and they leave, and then people fill in and out. It was just the whole night was insanity. And, I mean, the sound there is phenomenal. The lighting is outstanding. Scott's, you know, running a great venue over there. And we finally got a chance to get back in there. We haven't been there in a long time. And it really went great. And the crowd response was out of control. And that was a good show. You know, the last two shows we played as a full band were sold out. You know, October 30th, we shared the stage with Matt at the Stone Pony,
mm-hmm.
Matt O'Ree.
Mm-hmm.
And that place was insanity too. And it's just been good. It's good to be back. You know, we had our year and a half of just feeling it out, playing some shows here and there, getting in the studio, and now things are really rolling. And it's good. It's a good feeling.
Well, this is a good insanity. So I like hearing that. That's a good thing.
I like the insanity. Yeah, I like it when it's a good insanity.
Yeah, exactly. What are some venues that you would like to play? But you haven't done yet.
Well, close to home, I really like to do House of Independence. That's a really nice new venue that they just opened in Asbury. Definitely want to start hitting some South Street, Philly. That's my home. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, so I would really like to get out to Philly and do a couple shows. We're doing The Village. I just got us in Red Lion on Bleecker Street in New York City. So we're doing a show with our good friends, Gravity Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun. But wherever we can get in, whoever will have us, and you know, we'd like to get on some more national act shows. So,
well, you're really branching out, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're trying. You know, it's nice to stay close to home, but once in a while you got to go out,
mm-hmm.
and you got to venture out and take a chance.
So let me just remind our listeners that after the show is over, I'll do a blog entry. I'll post my blog, and I will put links to your Facebook page and to Reverb Nation. I guess, are those the best places for people to keep up with what's going on in your, as far as the band?
Yeah, I think so. Facebook has been really popular, you know, for us to get our songs out and where
mm-hmm.
we're playing and people messaging us all the time. The Reverb Nation, that's got all the new tracks are up there, so you can listen to them online. That's reverbnation.com/Colossal Street Jam. We have a Twitter. I post on that maybe once a week. If something big's coming up, I'll be up there more. And we do have a website, but it's under construction, and it should be done hopefully within the next couple weeks, and that's colossalstreetjam.com.
But if people are on your Facebook page, they'll get all the info they need to get, I would think.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, they'll get everything. Yep.
Well, Gene, do you want to share anything about what you've got coming up next as far as Colossal Street Jam?
Sure.
You've got some gigs coming
March 5th. March 5th we'll headline The Saint with our good friend Strawberry Pie, and there'll be some other special guests on that show.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's going to be a good show. March 23rd, we're at the Red Lion in New York City. And I believe we're going on somewhere in the 9 o'clock range. And then May 7th, we have a show May 7th. I'm not allowed to announce it yet, but it will be in a local Asbury Park venue, and it will be a pretty big show. So hopefully I'll be able to break that within the next week or two. And we are looking for, we have a couple things for April that are pending, and I'll put them up on Facebook once they're solidified.
Okay, so we got to keep our eyes on Facebook. Well, we are just about out of time. So Gene Potts, the lead vocalist of Colossal Street Jam, I want to say thank you so much for being my guest today. Much appreciated. And
watch
my blog. And my pleasure, really. So 30 minutes can change your life. So please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. Till next time, I'm Andrea Tarr. Once again, thank you to my guest, Gene Potts. Take care, Gene. It was great having you on today. Bye.
Thank you, Andrea. Bye.
Bye.